Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
I'm going to use this one. All right. We'll switch it out in a second. And I was feeling all kind of mellow then after that music, weren't you? Wasn't it mellow? We're talking about a really fascinating book in the Bible. It's right at the end of the New Testament. There's only five chapters. It's called the Letter of James, and you can miss it, really, because it's only a few pages long, but it's chock full with all kinds of wisdom. It didn't hardly make it into the Bible because some of the early church fathers didn't think there was enough mention of Jesus in it. But it really is Christ-based, and other church fathers said, "No, it's got to be in," and it is. So I want to pick seven passages, and I'm hoping my microphone's coming back because it's hard to open my Bible and hold a microphone and say anything meaningful. Here we go. Strap me in, man. All right, here we go. Andrew's the man, isn't he? All right, let me slip this in and then we'll go. What's that? Find my joy. Funny you should say that, because listen to this. He says in first chapter, he says, "My friends, whenever you have to face all sorts of trials, count yourself supremely happy. Count it all joy in the knowledge that such testing of your faith makes for strength to endure. And let endurance perfect its work in you, that you may become perfected, sound throughout, lacking in nothing." Now, this is powerful, isn't it? Count yourself supremely happy when you face all kinds of trials. That's counterintuitive because, hey, when everything's flowing great, I feel happy, I feel good. When things aren't going so well, I've still got to be happy. Are you kidding me? And it seems like, why should I be? You know, it's I'm having a tough time. But you think of the alternative. Count it all misery. That's not going to help us, is it? Count it all misery when all these things happen. Because what goes around comes around. If I'm considering it miserable, then I've got more misery. I've added to my misery. So if we want to overcome trials and difficulties, count it all joy. In other words, choose to see the what? The good in it? The blessing in it? I always tell myself it could always be worse. Have you ever done this? It can always be worse. Because it can, folks. No matter how bad it gets, it can always be worse. And we've got examples in our world of those people who have lost completely everything, you know. And so we count ourselves fortunate they were not in those circumstances. We live in a country, we complain a lot about this country. And yet this country gives us so many blessings and so much freedom and so much possibility, yeah. So I count it all joy. I'm not going to get in a heap of turmoil about stuff when I've been given and we've been given so much, yeah? And it leads to, he says, endurance, gives us patience. We're not really into patience, are we, in our modern world, because we want everything right now, yesterday. And so patience, ugh, boring, I have to be patient. But really, patience is one of the great virtues because it allows us to keep on keeping on through the difficulty. It came to pass. And so if we move through it, if we keep on keeping on, it will pass. We will come forward into a new day of possibility, yeah? So can we live from that consciousness, you know? Count yourself supremely happy, because happiness does not come from the circumstances out there or the conditions in here in my body. It comes from the soul qualities that are deep in my heart, which are always free, right? Which are perfect. Interesting word, perfect. It's translated as perfect, but it really means wholehearted, full, complete, right? God creates things in a wholehearted way, not in a ho-hum way, right? It's wholehearted. God gives completely. And we, therefore, are beings that are of whole hearts. And so live from that context, yeah? Don't live from something that is not you. You are truly complete. You know that? You're complete right now? And your work is simply to let that completeness express. It's one thing to hear it, and James talks a lot about this. It's another thing to live it, yeah? Unity's five principles, wonderful, but the most important one is which one? Which is principle number five, you know? We know that God is good. We are of God. What goes around comes around. Prayer is our anchor. But the fifth principle is put it into activity and thought, word, and deed, right? Count yourself supremely blessed and gifted that you have this wholehearted energy of spirit within you. Yes. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and it will be given to him. For God is a generous giver who neither grudges nor reproaches anyone. Now that's news for some of us because we've been brought up from 2,000 years of twisted Christianity, haven't we? That tells us that God is a miserable person who likes to grudge, hold grudges and reproach people, yeah? Where'd they get that from? Not from here. Because in here, it talks about the abundant giving God, right? The God that will give completely. Just because you did something stupid last night doesn't mean God's going to say, I'm not going to send the sun today. You're going to live in total darkness because you're a nasty person. No, God sends the sun anyway, right? Because God is generous. So if we can trust it in the larger sense of the sun arising, then the light is always there for you, yeah? Do you dare to claim it? That's the good news. Do you dare to claim that? Good news, to which everybody shouts, you bet we do. Then he goes on, he said, but he who asks must ask in faith with never a doubt in his mind, for the doubter is like a wave of the sea tossed hither and thither by the wind. A man like that should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is always in two minds and unstable in all he does. In two minds. You know, we want to believe, we are good unity students, we believe in the truth, that love conquers all, that my heart is full of compassion and love, but then we've also got this other mind, don't we? They did it to me, they're going to pay. Those idiots, they're maniacs, they're crazy, etc., etc. We're in two minds, you know, we want to live from that context, but we also drag ourselves down. Well, if you're in two minds, what are you going to achieve? Precious little, right? You have to decide each day, am I going to count it all joy or am I going to bitch, moan, and whine? Basically, that's the choices. But it's so much fun to moan and complain, isn't it? Because it's so much fun to give my power away to somebody else. Then, hey, I'm a victim. I'm a happy victim. Woo! Nobody's ever a happy victim, right? It's always kind of shades of misery, isn't it? So that's what our decision is. We have to decide. Where is my mind? What am I going to focus on this particular day? And there's some awesome passages he talks about. I'm going to get to this one. Let's see. Yeah, here it comes. Let me do this one first, and then hold on. I got to rush to this one. All right, I'm hurrying. Hold on. Yeah, patience, people. It says in here, just chill out here. Remember, mellow. Every good and generous action and every perfect gift comes from above. Now think about this. What is the above he's talking about? From the Father who created the lights of heaven. With him, there is no variation, no play of passing shadows. Of his own choice, he brought us to birth by the word of truth to be a kind of first fruits of his creation. There's a lot in here. Who is the wisdom from above, then? Is it out there somewhere above, or what is it? It's higher consciousness. It's that higher part of ourselves as opposed to the wisdom from below. We know the difference, don't we? We know when it's coming from below and from misery and ego and separation and division. But when it comes from above, then it comes with an expansiveness, yeah? A possibility thinking. With him, with that higher consciousness, there is no variation, no play of passing shadows. Now, of his own choice, God created the world like this, right? Therefore, isn't it wise to live in alignment with that amazing choice of God, yeah? He brought us to birth by the word of truth to be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Now, wait a minute. When you say nature is the first fruits, you know, all the things that fruit in the fields, all the animals that give birth and multiply, what's the difference? Why are we the first fruits? Why not all the rest of creation? What is it that's different about this first fruits? We're created in his, the animals aren't. We have an awareness, right? We are aware. We are aware of the glory of what's happening for us, whereas animals do it instinctively, naturally, but we have grown in consciousness. We're aware. So we have that conscious choice. We are co-creators with God, therefore. If God chose, then we have the gift also of choosing. Wow. Then he goes on. This is the bit I really like, if I could find it. I did this without any problem at 9:30. I don't know what the heck's going on here. I'm excited. That's what it is. Of that you may be certain, my dear friends. But everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. For human anger does not promote God's justice. Did you know that? Human anger does not promote God's justice. You know, sometimes I go on Facebook and see all the things that are written about in the political situation, you know, all the hateful things that are put out there. Now, you could disagree with someone or a situation or a policy, but you don't have to be hateful about it, right? You don't have to be angry about it, pulling everything down, horrible words about some leader that we might have, because that is not promoting anything that's positive or good. Yeah, it is just tearing it all down. Human anger does not promote God's justice. Then discard everything sordid and every wicked excess, and meekly, and here it is, here's the line I love, and meekly accept the message planted in your hearts with its power to save you. There is a message, a word, the implanted word. It's been implanted in our hearts. Now, what is the word? Because everybody's different on every different day of the week, what that implanted word is. But if it's planted, what's the implication? It's already there, but you don't just leave it planted, do you? You allow it to grow. That's where you put it into practice, right? So whatever word you choose to implant in your heart is what you allow to grow, right? So what's your word this week? What word are you taking with you from this place? Joy, right? Because if it's joy, then you've got to act. You've got to act in a joyful manner for the rest of the week, you know? Not as an imposition, oh, you weren't joyful, ha ha, caught you. Not about that. It's about being in alignment with what you choose to implant within you, right? Because if you're implanting joy and then you're miserable and bitchy with everybody, well, you're not in a pure conscious alignment, and you're doing yourself a disservice. What have we got else? It's joy, love. You're going to implant patience, right? So I'm going to endure whatever's coming to me. I'm going to see there's a blessing no matter how difficult the circumstance might prove to be, right? What? Hilarity. Oh, clarity. Clarity. I choose to see clearly. What is it about the situation here? Help me to see clearly. I choose to bring forth clarity into this situation, which is a beautiful thing, right? Because of God, everything is clear. When we invoke clarity, we get that clarity of vision. Compassion. Right, so I'm going to seek ways, therefore, to be compassionate in my week. Yeah, my word is wow. Because when I look at what God has done, right, has created this universe out of nothing and kept it going for 13.8 billion years, according to modern science, 13.8 billion years, everything that's in it, a multiplicity of wonders, all I can say is, wow. Wow. Now, if I'm implanting wow in my heart, I've got to live a wow life, yeah? I've got to find the wow everywhere I go. Wow. I've got to share a story. Somebody on the board sent me an email last night, and we were looking at the annual membership meeting, and we're looking at the budget, and I sent him the final version of it to look at. And he wrote back, wow, this is awesome. We're really moving forward. We're ahead on budget for the year. Income is higher than expenses. The church is in the flow. It's a wonderful thing. I'm excited about tomorrow. And all I could say after I read it was, wow. Because he got it, yeah? He got the spark. He considered it all joy rather than say, oh, I don't know where, you know, I wonder what this means, et cetera, et cetera. There was that sense of being in the flow, and it was inspiring to me. So because the wow was implanted, I was able to respond with wow. Because that's generally what I hold in my heart is wow. This is an amazing thing, this thing called life, isn't it? No matter how bad it gets sometimes, it's still an amazing gift, how precious human life is. Amen? And so, yeah, wow. And the more wow I can conceive of, the more there is. Have you noticed this? If I'm living a ho-hum life, life is ho-hum. But if I'm living a wholehearted life, life is wholeheartedly expansive and good. It's joyous. Everything is possible. But we have to put it into practice. Only be sure you act on the message, says James. And do not merely listen and so deceive yourselves. Anyone who listens to the message but does not act on it is like somebody looking in a mirror at the face nature gave him. He glances at himself and goes his way and promptly forgets what he looked like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law that makes us free, and does not turn away, remembers what he hears and he acts on it. And by so acting, he will find happiness. Right? Now, I know there's some of us who look in the mirror and we never turn away. Because we're so enamored of ourselves. Oh, yeah. I was in a restaurant last night and there was a big old mirror in there. I thought, oh, boy, you're looking good, Paul. Then I hit myself around the side of the head and said, wake up. I got to tell a funny story. When I was first, my first long-term girlfriend when I was a teenager, I finally went to the house of the mom, you know, and the mom kind of, we had a little interview like you do, you know, to get to know mom and dad and everything. And later on, I asked my girlfriend, well, what did she think about me, you know? And my girlfriend, she said, well, she couldn't come up with much to say except he has nice teeth. So I've remembered that all my life, you know. He has nice teeth. Oh, great, you know. Nothing else about me. Of course, it's hard to please the mother, yeah. So I put it down to that. But I've remembered it all these years. He has nice teeth. It's really important to have nice teeth. That's right. I've made a whole career out of smiling, you know. Better than no teeth. See, consider it all joy. What good is it, my friends, for someone to say that he has faith when his actions do nothing to show it? Can that faith save him? Suppose a fellow Christian, whether man or woman, is in rags with not enough food for the day, and one of you says, goodbye, keep warm, and have a nice meal, but does nothing to supply their bodily needs. What good is that? So with faith, if it does not lead to action, it is by itself a lifeless thing. We have to find ways on a daily basis to put into practice what we have implanted in our hearts, yeah? The implanting is crucial, but then we have to let it crop. We have to grow. We have to let it germinate and live from that context. So in a way, although she couldn't say much good, at least she saw that I had nice teeth. So she was practicing a principle, wasn't she? So what can we do this week to bring that implanted word into activity for us? Let's think of a few things. You mentioned encouragement. I'm going to encourage others, right? So that's my word. I want to encourage myself. I encourage others. I see the good in others. That's good. What else? Okay, so tell me how you bring that into action. Okay. So it resets your mind. Yeah. Find things to be grateful for and then actually put them into practice in a word or a deed, right? Because once you begin to see that there is something more than your misery, more than your self-concern, then that attracts energy to it, right? And more is available. That's the way God works, wherever our focus is. If we count it all misery, then expect to receive a whole heap of it. But if you count it all joy and are grateful for it, expect to be blessed, yeah? What else? What are you going to do? Comfort someone, okay. I am a caring person, so I'm going to go and literally comfort someone this week. Excellent. Two more. Count it all joy. Your supplemental insurance is a joyous thing. Your Medicare coverage is glorious. You'd be rather do something meaningful instead of this nonsense, yeah. And yet, right in the middle of that is the meaning. Yeah. Right. And whenever we have resistance, we know there's something to learn, right? Yeah, so kudos to Pratiksha for seeing that there's resistance there in her and is willing to work through it. So that's great. That's a good example. Right. And then you're going to report back how the IRS was merciful and kind to you. That may take longer than a week, but that's okay. But the work is being done. Excellent example. Thank you. Because it's not just the easy stuff, you know? It's the difficult stuff that we resist. That's where the growth point is, folks. Right? The leaf that bursts out, the bud that comes off the stalk, comes at a point of growth. It's a risk for that twig to burst forth, that bud to burst forth out of that twig, yeah? It wants to stay nice and cozy on the tree itself. So that growth point, though, is the only place where that tree is going to actually unfold and grow, right? It's the same with us. It's hard to break through the shell sometimes and blossom and grow, but that's what we are capable of, and that's what's implanted in us. Not ho-hum, wholehearted. I am wholehearted. Here's the last one. Which of you is wise or learned? Let him give practical proof of it by his right conduct with the modesty that comes of wisdom. But if you are harboring bitter jealousy and the spirit of rivalry in your hearts, stop making false claims in defiance of the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above. It's earthbound, sensual, demonic. For with jealousy and rivalry come disorder and the practice of every kind of evil. And we know the difference between that miserable way of approach. And at the gate between the higher and the lower is resistance, right? That's the gate that opens us up or drags us down. It's a beautiful between time. It's that point of growth for the bud. It's joyous. And we know what to do. We know the higher. Why do we know it? It's implanted within us. And now he gives what the wisdom from above is. He says, but the wisdom from above is in the first place pure, then peace-loving, considerate, and open-minded. It is straightforward and sincere, rich in compassion and in deeds of kindness that are its fruit. Peace is the seedbed of righteousness, and the peacemakers will reap its harvest. Let's read that again. First of all, it's pure. It's not double-minded, right? I am focused. I want to bring forth only the best. Yes? Amen? And then it's peace-loving because that naturally follows from a pure heart. It's considerate and open-minded. I don't have to make you think the way I think. It's okay if we differ. Yeah? I'm open-minded. I'm not trying to force you into my little box. It's straightforward and sincere. I'm not trying to weasel something out of you. Here I am. This is me, right? I got nice teeth. Rich in compassion and in deeds of kindness, that are its fruit. See, that's the fruit of the love in the implanted heart. It comes forth in deeds of kindness. Peace is the seedbed of righteousness. Notice these images of seeds and growth. It's coming forth as peace. That's its ultimate quality. Peace is the seedbed of righteousness, and the peacemakers will reap its harvest. On any given day, am I going to be a peacemaker, or am I going to divide and find problems? Even if it's a problem, we can be creative about it, can't we? We can find compassionate, loving ways to move forward. So I'd suggest we desist and fast from that double-mindedness, you know, that wants to drag us down, the wisdom from below, and allow that expansiveness to come forth. Now, there's three things I think that are crucially important. This is the pop quiz part of the whole proceedings. It's back. The pop quiz is back. What three things do you remember from what we talked about today? Just three. And one word's good, but what? That I have nice teeth. Yeah, there we go. We're going to see what we focus on. Excellent. If you count everything joy, then you're going to see that. You're going to see joy. We have choice and free will. Those are all part of one. Now, let's move on to two. They're all about the same thing, right? The choices we have to what we hold in consciousness. The seed is implanted. That's the second huge idea, right? The seed of all possibility, whatever it might be for you this week, it's implanted. And therefore, if it's implanted, it's your job to bring it forth. But you have to decide what's implanted in you this week. What is that quality that you're going to birth, germinate, allow to come forth? Yeah? Because if it's the same old resentments and misery and division, then whoa, nasty. There's no wow factor to that. You know, it's just nasty misery factor. So implant something good and let it grow. That's the second one. One? Yeah, you have to put it into practice. That's a good one. Ask for wisdom. The wisdom from above is always kind and considerate and pure and straightforward, right? And it blesses not just you or someone else, it blesses everyone. It blesses the world. That's a good way to end, isn't it? Wow. Thank you, God.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.